Start with Isaiah. David said, this is supposed to make you preach longer. They give one to Pastor Jim every Sunday morning. Makes him good for another 30 minutes. I don't know what it's got in it. All right. Most of these scriptures you're familiar with. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, scripture says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Father, we thank you for this promise. And we thank you that as we look at the scriptures together, that you are giving us an encouragement in this life to remember what you have done and what you are doing daily as you are walking with us through this life to eternity. And we just give you the praise and the thanksgiving for revealing something to us today that'll encourage us and build us up and cause us to remember you and to not be just walking into a new day or a new year without hope, without an additional spring in our step to enjoy the presence of God. So we ask you right now to show us your encouragement today. In Jesus' name, amen. So he starts out, "Unto us a child is born." To us. So in other words, the child was not born just to be God's favorite guide, God's man. The child was for us. Isn't that powerful? A child is born, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Now this son is not like, you know, Luke's my son. It's not like, so it's my son. It's a son, the Son of God, is given to us. So God had a son, but he's for us. So everything about the Son of God is for us. It's not for him to be a big ruler with big abilities to run the place and be a tyrant or to be a king over us. But in fact, the Son is for us. So he says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Now, so what that means is he's going to be taking the weight of it. So the government, he takes all the weight. He takes all the weight of making sure everything comes out right. So what that means is I actually can give up the idea that I'm going to take on the weight of it. I trust him, and I hear him, and I listen to him, and I trust that the government that he gives me a piece of to do or to follow everything's going to turn out for the blessing of my benefit, my family, my benefit. Everything is going my way. Now, does it look like that on the outside every day? No, it doesn't. But that's okay, because I know I have a promise from God that everything is going my way. Everything is going, turning out, coming up roses for me. Whether I get a raise or not, whether I get the best or not, whether something wrong happens, it doesn't overwhelm me. Because daily I remember that God is for me. "For unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." So he's taking the weight of it. You remember, you hear about the story of Atlas, you know, carrying the weight, carrying the earth on his shoulder, right? Well, it's not Atlas, it's Jesus. It's not Atlas, it's Jesus. Atlas, and Jesus doesn't shrug. You know, the story, Atlas shrugged. Well, you know, I guess that created some kind of an earthquake or some kind of a crisis. Jesus doesn't shrug. Jesus is fully enabled and able to carry my weight. Everything that I have, every trouble that I have, every thought that I have that is saying, you know what, you need to worry about this. No, not at all. I don't need to worry. He says to me, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, giving thanks unto God. Trust that He is working all things for your good. Amen? I mean, this is a baby in a manger. We have here's the baby. We were showing Shiloh last night. You know, she's finally had her, she's 2 1/2. She's Jordan and Robin's oldest girl. And she's 2 1/2. She finally, this is the first Christmas that she's really kind of paying attention. You know, and so we're showing her the, and she goes to church all the time, but we're showing her a manger scene at the house and just kind of giving her the basic pieces of the nativity of Jesus in the manger. There's the baby Jesus in the manger. So, but he's not just a baby. That's how he arrived. He arrived as a baby to do what? To live and to experience everything that you and I do, to be tempted in every way like we were. He could take on our burdens. He takes on our burdens because he is in every way, he understands and knows. Well, he didn't. He was never married, somebody would say. He never had a wife to deal with. Now, Jesus is tempted in every way like you. He in every way knows what you're going through. And he is able to carry your burden. So the reason Jesus came as a baby, he didn't just come as a big warrior, you know, like the Israelites were expecting. You know, the Romans, the reason they didn't believe is they were expecting Jesus to come as a, you know, riding in on a white horse and, you know, knock down the Romans and take over and be the king. That's what they wanted him to do the week before. You remember when he came riding in on a donkey, they said, "Hey, here's the guy. Here's Jesus." And they were all excited because he had been working miracles. He'd been all over the country for the last 3 1/2 years. And he had been doing mighty works. And they knew that this is the guy who is going to take us into the kingdom of God. But what God had a different plan. God's plan was not to deliver a nation from oppression. His plan was to deliver everybody from oppression from the inside. His plan is to deliver you from your inside oppression. Everything you thought you couldn't do, didn't do, wouldn't do, he came to say, you know what, it's okay. All that law that we had before, it was just to show you one thing, that you could not do it. The reason, Galatians tells you, if you want to go read the book of Galatians, you will find out that the Bible says that the law that was given was not for you to do, but to show you that you could not do. You could not perform, and you couldn't be good, and you couldn't behave because because it wasn't in you to do. You are born in sin. Everybody. You don't have a wonderful divine spark. You're not basically good. Well, yes, I am. Just grade me. I'm basically good. No, you have been taught to be good because it's generally a good idea. It's kind of like, you know, some of you have kind of gotten into some trouble and you found out behaving is a little more, is cheaper than not behaving. I mean, the world has laws that kind of are set in place to kind of make it better to behave than not. Anybody say amen? It's just better to behave. It's just the world has got laws that kind of make it that way. But the fact is that you, inside, cannot be good enough for God's program. You're not going to be perfect. You can't. He says, be holy as I am holy. Well, that's not going to happen. Just give up now. God said, be holy like I am. Well, I can't do that. But the church has then, by and large, said, do the best you can. Well, you know what? God didn't say that, did he? God didn't say do the best you can. No, we generally do just to, again, to keep people from being mad at us. and to keep from paying fines and keep from going to jail. You just do the best you can just to keep out of trouble. So it's basically all, it's selfish on your part, right? So there you go. You're not being good because you're good. You're being good because it's convenient, right? You're being good because it makes your mom and dad glad. You know, happy that they're not mad at you. They're happy that you're making your own way and not moving back in and all that kind of thing. You know, that's the thing. And so what God has said, though, with Jesus is that I'm going to come in and actually I'm going to redo the inside of you and I'm going to become good for you. And that's what this baby did. He came to take all of your burdens and all of your sins upon himself so that, I'll come over here and talk to y'all. He came in so that he could transform you from the inside out. And he's working that every day. That's what the Holy Spirit was about. The Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, his Spirit, when Jesus left and was ascended into heaven, this sounds like the Easter message, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to live in each one of you. As you would believe. If you would agree and believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for your sin, and that believing on him, you would have everlasting life. He, in fact, the bonus is, he decided he was going to move in on the inside of you. And he moved in on the inside of you and begins to transform you and change you day by day, one degree of glory to the other, as you trust him, not as you work to do good. Listen to his voice. He, in fact, you will learn to hear him. You will learn to hear the voice of God. Usually he's a still small voice. He doesn't come in like, "Hey, how you doing today?" Coming in, sitting in your chair. No, he in fact speaks to you as you go. He speaks to you as you go. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. And the government, that is my daily government of me, is upon his shoulder. The government of you is not upon your shoulder. The government of you, the governing of you, of yourself, is upon his shoulder. Cast all your burden on him because he cares for you. So he says, again, do not... I hear a sound. So the power of God working on the inside of you is changing you and causing you to hear him and to do his will. Do his will sometime is not... Do his will sometime is not something that you're going to do in the sense that you're trying to please him. Listen to me. I want you to tell you something. Jesus Christ and God the Father are pleased with you. Say, God is pleased with me. Okay, bottom line is, first of all, everybody say this verse with me. God so loved the
world.
Thank you. The who? The church, right? The church? God so loved the good people. Oh, wait a minute. No, not the good people. God so loved the world. That's the whole world. That's everybody, every man, woman, and child, and that he gave. The reason that he gave this son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Interesting thing, and he sticks the word "not perish" in there. He doesn't just say, he believes on him shall have everlasting life. He, in fact, inserts a caveat or an alternative possibility that won't happen. It says, if you believe on him, whoever believeth on him, this is talking to Nicodemus, the Jewish councilman, leader, rabbi, in John chapter 3, whosoever believeth on him, Jesus, shall not perish. Wow, that's the first one. So, death penalty is off the table for you. Woohoo! Death penalty is off the table for me. Shall not perish. But, on the contrary, not only not die, but have eternal life. Eternal life is not just long life, forever life, but it's quality. Eternal life is not just long life, just, you know, just living, 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 but it's actually quality life. It's the fullness of life that God intended from the foundation of the world. That's what you have in Christ Jesus. And you know what? It doesn't start when you. It doesn't start at death. It's, well, okay, I'll qualify that. It starts at death in the fact that once you receive Jesus Christ, what happens to you, the old man, is, remember what baptism is? Buried with Him. You're buried with Him. You're dead. And then you're risen to justification. That is, justification just means is that when God looks at you, He sees Jesus. He sees the finished work of Jesus when He looks at you. So He's not looking at your boo-boos and your mess-ups and your the fact that you haven't done well, the fact that you mess up. You still mess up. I do. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. Yeah, look at her. She's nodding her head. Ask my son. Ask my dad. You know, I mess up. But God still likes me. And you know what? If the first thing I need to do is recognize the fact that He still likes me. That He's happy with me. Amen? He's happy with me. That's why He came. He was happy with me before He came. That's why He came. Because He loved me. Amen? God loves me. Say that. God loves me. All right. Now, and the people who didn't think that, now you say that. God loves me. He's happy with me. And what He wants for me to do is to believe and, you know, if somebody loves you, they want you to have everything that they have for you, right? They want you to have everything that they have for you that they know is beneficial and helpful and on your side. You know, you want somebody, you see somebody with a lack and a need and you can fill it and you want to fill it, you want them to receive it. That's what God does. He wants you to have it. He wants you to receive it. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like. You know, there may be some outward circumstances that you may have that appear from the world standpoint to be unovercomable problems. But you know what? God works on the inside of you first to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, and then He begins to work out the rest. He begins to work out the rest. First of all is joy. Then He begins to work out the rest. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So He begins to work out the rest. So I'm excited to just share that with you. And the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called. Now here's His names. Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and of peace, there shall be no end. Now He's talking, of course, you know, here in Isaiah, the people who are reading Isaiah are thinking the kingdom of Israel. But once we find out that Jesus has come for the individual salvation of each person, so He didn't come to take over the city, He came to take over you. And then when you have, how many know, you have to have a solid individual to have a solid family. Then you have to have solid families to have a solid church. Then you have to have a solid church to have a solid nation. So where does it begin? With you. It begins with self-government. Self-government begins with you being God's, governed by God. And the governed by God is, you better do what I, not, but not, you better do what I say, but you do what I say and you're blessed. You do your own thing, you're probably, it's going to take a lot longer. Anybody ever found that? You do it your way, things take a lot longer. Even though it seems like God takes forever to do stuff. I mean, but it just seems like God is slow. You know, over in Peter, he says, God is not slack concerning His promise as men count slackness. In other words, God don't do things the way I think they should be done. But He does things. and he does them in the right order. So don't be depressed. Don't be downcast. Scripture says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Why are you disquieted in me? That's your soul. That's your old man. That's the kind of the, you're kind of a blend, actually, because you still have your old mind and your old thoughts. Have you ever noticed that? Now, God's not upset by that. He knows that happens. Is you've got this rebellious little part of your mind that still complains. Right? Anybody ever found that to be true? You've got this part of your mind that says, nah, I ain't going there. I'm not doing that. You had a thought that came from God and you went, eh, I don't think so. That's not something that I do. But God begins to work on you. And because He loves you, He begins to woo you. He begins to love you and say, just do what I... Just. You ever had that sense? Is that God just kind of keeps... Kind of like your... just for me, it's kind of like your dog kind of keeps bumping up against you because they want something, you know, and they just keep bumping you. The Holy Spirit will be like that. He'll just bump you. And just bump up against you. Just time and time and finally go, okay. Okay. And then you go ahead and just let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do, or you go ahead and follow through and, you know, forgive that person or tell that person you love them or do just whatever something might be that was kind of against your will to do. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is that God may be moving on you, you know, and this is not something for somebody who, this is new believers. This is people who are just brand new in the faith, is God actually begins to kind of just bump you, move you. And you begin to learn, that's how you learn how to hear the Holy Spirit. That's how you learn how to hear God. When I say to hear the Holy Spirit, I mean hear God. That's just His way of communication. His way of communication is He moved on the inside of you by His Spirit, and this is God talking to you. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, but that's how He communicates with you directly and personally. He typically doesn't come down with a big booming voice and say, hey. He actually will move on you from the inside. All right? So He says that His government and of His government and His peace there shall be no end. That again, that's not just the exterior government over countries and nations, it's over you. Now listen to that. Of the increase of His government and peace. You know, as you allow the Lord to govern you, peace begins to reign more frequently and more completely. You are no longer in charge, but you are no longer burdened by the problems of this life. They come along, but they don't throw you like they did. Paul says he'd been through many perils. Perils on the sea, perils here, perils, everywhere a peril. But none of these things moves me. David said it in the Old Testament. He said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So your heart as a believer. See, even David in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit moved into inside people, the men of faith in the Old Testament knew the presence of God, and they knew, my heart is fixed. In other words, you can't move me. I'm trusting in God. That's it. Abraham, Moses, Jacob. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, Paul says in Philippians, whose mind is stayed on thee. Psalms, promise. So that increase of government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from now until forever. Let's look over at Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to read a few passages that are familiar. as you're turning there, Jesus came in the fullness of time. That means right on time. Jesus came right on time. The first promise of Jesus Christ as the Messiah was to Eve in the Garden of Eden, saying to her that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel. That's the first promise in Genesis 3:15. That's the first promise of the Savior, of the Redeemer, the first promise. Then as we move forward, this is back with Adam and Eve. As we move forward, then he comes to Abraham, and he gives him a promise. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Not just one, not just Israel. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. By the end of the day, he only had one son. That was a promise. Then God, 430 years later, creates a law and a nation of Israel. And then for almost 1,500 years, until the time of Jesus, that nation and that promise was carried through the law and through the nation of Israel. But the promise was about not Israel. The promise was about what? Genesis 3:15. The promise and the nation of Israel and the law were all for one purpose, because Galatians tells us is that the law was for one purpose, to bring us to Christ. Wasn't it? The law was not, well, let's try this. It didn't work. No, that was not God's point. That was not, God didn't have something that he planned and didn't work, so he had to come up with plan B. No, the law was just to bring you to Christ. Is that right? The law was bring you to Christ. So all of that time with Israel, God loves Israel. But the purpose was to bring us to Christ. And that, the fullness of time. The fullness of time, God says, Jesus was born of a virgin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And that's what it was. That's the way that child was conceived, was through the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take you Mary for your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's out of Isaiah chapter 7. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him his wife. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. And if you'll flip over to your spot you put in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now even to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at all those things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. You know, the one thing people talk about whether or not we're commanded to celebrate Christmas in the Scripture. You know, some folks, well, we're not commanded to do that. I say, well, if the angels came down and sang to a bunch of shepherds, I think that's a celebration, don't you? So, I think it's well within our duty to thank God for the birth of this child. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, let's look back at Matthew chapter 1. Or Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? They're asking the king. For we have seen his star in the east, and we're come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's in Micah 5:2. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go diligently search for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also. Well, we know better than that. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, and it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they were come into the house, I thought he was born in a manger. I thought he was born in a stable. It was his house. Well, this part of the story takes place actually quite a bit later. Because these guys had traveled quite a bit, quite a way. So they came into the house. They were already in a little house. And when they were coming to the house, still in Bethlehem, no doubt, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And then when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be you there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be spoken or fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord out of the prophet, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then finally, look over at Matthew chapter 2. What did I say? Is that where we were? Sorry. Luke chapter 2, sorry. Now, before that episode with the wise men, after the episode with the wise men, verse 21 of chapter 2. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, this is after the birth of Jesus, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, that is Mary, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. This is the story. This is a great story. There's a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now again, this is before the Holy Ghost is given by Jesus departing and dying and rising and departing. So the Holy Spirit, in this sense, was upon him as it was on one of the Old Testament prophets. So the Holy Spirit is upon Simeon, and he is a man waiting for the consolation of Israel. What that is waiting for Jesus. He's waiting for the deliverance, the deliverer of Israel. And this man was in Jerusalem, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now he was not there, but he came in. He came by the Spirit into the temple. That's where Mary and Joseph and Jesus were. He came by the Spirit. Now I want you to realize, look here in verse 25, 26, and 27. This is all by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was upon Simeon. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he should see the Lord's Christ. And by the Spirit, he came into the temple that day. I mean, that's a lot of Spirit. That's a lot of hearing of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit. That's the same way you hear. That's the same way you hear. God doesn't just speak to prophets. He speaks to you. Personally. He likes you. He spends time with you. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms, Simeon did, and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel, out of Isaiah 42. These words were already spoken, and Simeon knew those words from the Scripture and declared those words. Mine eyes have seen your salvation, which thou hast declared and prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles, not just the Jews. A light to give light to the Gentiles, that is everybody other than the Jews. And the glory of your people, Israel. For everybody. How did he know that? Did they have a sign on them? Did Jesus have I'm Jesus. Baby Jesus, Savior. Did he have a name tag on when he came in the temple? Did his parents have a name tag, have a halo over them? No. Simeon came into that temple, and the Holy Spirit said, that kid over there, that's him. And he went over and he grabbed that, took that baby out of her arms and began to worship God. And Joseph, now listen to this. See, Joseph and Mary weren't waiting. Well, I wonder when Simeon is going to get here. No. Read the next verse. He says that Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which are spoken of him. They weren't expecting that. Like, who's this guy? They probably saw him in there. He's probably one of the elders of the church or something. They'd probably seen him before. Maybe they knew him. Maybe they didn't. Because they're not from there. They're actually from up in Galilee. They're up in Galilee, you know, and then they're over here in Bethlehem, and here they come to Jerusalem. They don't know anybody in Jerusalem. Here comes Simeon. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's quite a word. Then, after that, verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. Now listen, I'll tell you how great her age was. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Okay, so that's seven. And she was a widow of about 84 years. How much is that? Anybody know? 84 plus 7. Makes her 91. So she's a widow for 84 years after her husband died. And she departed not for the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in instant, and she coming in that instant, the minute that Simeon was talking, she came in at that moment and gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Father, we magnify you. We exalt you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your finished work. We thank you for the love of Jesus. We thank you for the love of Jesus. We thank you for the love of the Father, which has been delivered to us. We ask you, Lord, to take these things which we have heard this morning and shared this morning and cause us to be encouraged beyond measure, that we learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and that we are not attempting to behave or to be good according to our own effort, but that you daily are working in us that which is well-pleasing in your sight. We thank you for the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you for our new life in Christ, which we live daily, and we do not wait for heaven. We don't wait for to be dead and buried and raised at the last day. But we in fact live daily in his presence from the moment we say, I believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and that my sins are forgiven, and that he is working in me that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Father, I thank you that today, those who have need of making that declaration, do so and enjoy the fullness that God begins to change me from one degree of glory to the next. It is my joy. It's my peace. And we give you the praise and we give you the thanks for it. Is Melissa here? Was she going to do anything this morning? Is she right there? Oh, there you are, baby. Were you going to play for us this morning? Not this morning? Okay. Thank you. Hallelujah. Fagan, Elbow, can you help us with the offering today?
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Merry Christmas.